There are a number of ways to find out what the most pressing needs are in a community. Conduct a research study, gather and analyze statistics, or simply ask people what they think the needs are. Well, the latter is exactly what the Church of Greater Lansing did in the Tri-County area in 2012. From January to November of last year, as part of the group's Community Leadership Survey, volunteers interviewed 45 local leaders to get their assessment of the region's needs. They just unveiled the results yesterday, and here to tell us more about the survey is Stephanie Butler, the Executive Director of the Church of Greater Lansing. Welcome to Current State, Stephanie.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
Tell us more about the Church of Greater Lansing.
Sure.
Who are you?
That's a great question. We get that a lot. People always ask us, are you a church? You know, you gather for worship on the weekend, and we're not. We're actually a network of churches. So we've had about 120 churches come through in the Tri-County area, so it's a regional movement, not just a localized Lansing movement. And we're a gathering of really Christian churches who are uniting to transform Lansing for Christ. So that means, from our perspective, we serve our city, we love our city, we help the leaders of our city to bring to pass the dreams and hopes that they have for the people and the city dwellers they're in.
Mm-hmm. And what sparked the survey?
That's a great question. We started 4 or 5 years ago with a project called Food Drop. You may have heard of that. We actually partnered with WKAR with our phone bank
right.
at that time. Yeah. Kathy over there helped us out. And we knew that the mayor had come to us and told us hunger and housing were two primary needs that the city had, Verge Bonaro. And at that time, we were willing to take on the issue of hunger. So we united and kind of rallied and decided to do a one-day event. And what we realized, even though Dave Carr from the Michigan Food Bank had said, you guys have done in one day what it takes us 2 months to accomplish in regards to feeding over 3,000 families, in my heart of hearts, I was wrestling with it because I knew it was really a drop in the bucket in light of it being an event versus something more systemic and sustainable to transform the city. So we started to think and kind of pray through what it was we were really wanting to do. How could we make a sustainable difference? How could we make a transformative difference in line with our vision and what we were hoping to accomplish? And the reality is we realized we needed more information. So we set out on this journey to interview these 45 leaders who came through recommendations from each one. We said, who else should we be talking to? And they basically referred the next one. That's how this worked. And just let us know, these are people that are already serving our community. These are people from all domains, sectors of society, spheres of influence, and they're doing the work. So we ask the experts.
Hmm. And you asked each interviewee a set of questions.
We did.
Mm-hmm. The third question seems to get at the heart of the survey. It was a four-part question. I'll quickly run through the four parts. From your perspective, what are the three most pressing issues facing our shared community? How would you go about addressing them? Who is already addressing these issues? And what, if any, are the current roadblocks to bring about substantial progress? You released the findings yesterday. What were the top issues facing our community?
That's a great question. The top four were education, employment and job creation, which includes kind of an economic improvement component, the deterioration of the family, local government infrastructure, and healthcare and crime prevention. So those were the top six concerns that we shared. What's very interesting about the survey was those that followed had the exact same percentage of response. So two additional ones on the next level up at the seventh level issue coming in. We had poverty and transportation both at the exact same percentage. And then the following five were all at the same percentage level in answers too, because everybody answered the three questions, right? What are the top three pressing needs? So you're not going to get 100% total here. So we're looking at 300. Racism, volunteerism, neighborhood issues, competition between nonprofits and affordable housing. So I thought that was interesting that they were so well clustered into kind of those eight areas.
Mm-hmm. Was anything on the list a surprise to you?
Honestly, not really. I sat in almost all of the interviews. So to me personally, having worked at the Lansing City Rescue Mission and been very closely engaged with many of the nonprofits, having been the assistant director there, to me personally they weren't. But I believe to a lot of the pastors and churches that I have the opportunity and privilege to facilitate these meetings for, they were very surprised.
You also asked each person, who else should we sit down and talk with?
Yeah.
To broaden our understanding of the community. What were those responses like?
They were very helpful, actually. I was delightfully surprised to find that people referred us to individuals in philanthropy. They referred us to individuals who were directors of nonprofits. They referred us to state, local, regional, and city leaders. So that, to me, was a surprise, who they recommended I speak with. Even one, a couple local business owners, like Dean Kelly, who's working with Lansing Promise Scholarships, that this isn't their vocation. This is just what they happen to be passionate about, but they're very much engaged in the community and mm-hmm. seeing it succeed.
We spend an awful lot of time talking about both education and jobs, and those are, that's how they came out.
That's
One and two. Now, underlying all of this is something called the collective impact approach.
That is correct.
Describe what that means.
Collective impact basically is when a group of individuals or investors from varied sectors of society, domains of society, come together and say, not necessarily, I believe what you believe, therefore we can work together, but I care about what you care about, therefore we can work together. So it's saying we have a shared agenda. We have something we all care about that we're interested in working towards. And then the second point is to come to a place where we say, okay, we're willing to use some type of shared measurement system to determine what the capacities of the vested partners is and where they're able and willing to work and serve and put their assets toward this particular issue.
We're talking with Stephanie Butler, who is the executive director of the Church of Greater Lansing, about their community survey, the results of which were just announced yesterday. They were trying to get at what are the most pressing problems and issues facing the Greater Lansing area. Now, as far as conclusions and the way forward, Stephanie, in the report, you were not shy when mentioning obstacles. It says there's an undercurrent of caution and mistrust. That's a quote. And then it mentions racial tension. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Sure. And I would just say that we did this in partnership with the Power We Consortium, and what was most exciting to us about these results is that our top six, all of them aligned with the Power We Consortium's goals on racism and equity. Equity and racial healing was one of their goals as well. And it seems that in our area, especially because we are the capital, Lansing is the capital city for a state and local government, obviously, there is kind of that undertone of our political climate that we're experiencing right now, a little bit of mistrust. But what I was most excited about at the meeting yesterday is the transparency and authenticity that happened in the room when we did the dialogues around each of the issues. People openly shared some of their concerns and their struggles about needing to remain faithful to their individual mandates or vision of their organization and callings, if it was a church, and yet desiring and recognizing that there is a need to work together and it's time. So while that historically kind of has been an undertone, it seems that now there is an openness and a desire and a recognition that we really can't do this alone. No one organization, individual, or agency can change the city.
I imagine it must have, some of the people you interviewed must have felt good answering these questions. They were able to get things out of their system.
Yeah.
Maybe they were. Did that come through in this experience?
Most definitely. And I would say that was the privilege of being in almost all of the interviews, was hearing the heart of the people that are currently in the multiple areas, those spheres and those sectors. We have some beautiful leaders, some passionate people that very deeply care about our city and the people in our city. And for me, that's exciting, because when you put people like that in a room and you say, What are the solutions? What can we do to fix this? Those are the type of people you want around your table.
Mm-hmm. What kind of comments did you specifically hear repeated? I mean, was there a real common thread to any one of these topics? I mean, was there a common thread to the comments about education or about jobs?
Yeah, most definitely. In regards to the education, a lot of the interviewees responded about the issues with K through 3, the third grade reading level, obviously, literacy, the statistics there, what the data shows. Some of the individuals discussed data sharing, which I'll mention this very quickly. I don't know if you're familiar with Meet the Need. Meet the Need is a free integrative software that can be utilized by any organizations and actually tied into their website, so they own it, they can personalize it, looks like theirs. This is one of the ways we're going to begin to utilize a shared measurement system in that collective impact format. And we heard a lot about this issue of data. The smaller nonprofits especially are having a hard time keeping up. They need volunteers, they need resources, they need donations, etc. And the reality is oftentimes these small nonprofits especially don't have the staff basing to be recruiting and managing and following up with these volunteers and these types of things. So this particular software is going to be extremely helpful to them, and it was donated free by some Christians out of Miami, Florida. It's been piloted for about 10 years, and it's integratable with the individual websites. It does charity the same things that charity tracking does, so they were very excited to hear about that potential, and that's one of our first things that we rolled out this past week.
I spent some time with your report here before this segment here. Where can people access the findings of your report?
That's a great question. They can contact our office and email us at exec.dir@icoggle.com.
Okay. Exec, E-X-E?
E-X-E-C dot D-I-R at I-C-O-G-L.com.
Okay, very good. And there were, talk to us about the power of we. I mean, mm-hmm. I know what the power of we consortium is to here, but they're obviously, you referred to their objectives.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yours. Just remind our listeners who the power of we is.
The power of we is kind of the network of networks from the community perspective, and Coggle is sort of the network of networks from the faith-based perspective. So they're sort of our parallel in the community. And Coggle just most recently became a community partner of the power of we. They have a faith-based initiative kind of placeholder on their organizational chart, and yet no one from the faith-based community was at the table. So we've been their partner to step into one of those slots there.
And the biggest question of all, I guess, what do we do with all this information? What's next?
That's a great question. The first step, obviously, is dialogue, finding out what are those shared agenda items. So we've sort of determined that. And because so many of our items overlapped with what the power of we in the community is saying, are their priorities as well, that's where we're going to start. And the second step, obviously, is connecting the people, helping these leaders that are already working in these specified areas of passion to connect to one another. What are your strengths? What are your assets? Who are you or are you not working with? Are you duplicating something that already exists? And having those difficult conversations that I think initially cause a little bit of tension, but ultimately what it'll lead to is people being able to work in their sweet spots.
Okay. Stephanie Butler is the Executive Director of the Church of Greater Lansing. We have been discussing the results of the group's community leadership survey that assessed the needs of the Tri-County area. Stephanie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Mark.